The Northern Territory Chief Minister, Michael Gunner, believes Australia could enter the space race within a year if his plans to turn the Top End into a space hub for space exploration gets the go-ahead. A private company called Equatorial Launch Australia, that's not easy to say on the radio, has already sized up the remote town of Nhulunbuy on the Gove Peninsula in East Arnhem Land as a potential rocket launch site. Arnhem Land is deemed ideal because of its proximity to the equator and also because of its sparse population, of course. Michael Gunner told a Northern Territory Defence Summit yesterday that the site could hold the key to Australia capturing a greater slice of the global space industry. Brett Biddington is a space policy and strategy expert at Biddington Research. Brett Biddington, welcome to Breakfast.
Oh, hello, Fran. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you, Brett. One reason, as I mentioned, Nhulunbuy has been singled out is because it's close to the equator. Why is that important or beneficial for a rocket launch site?
So the Earth spins on its axis, and at the equator, the Earth is moving faster than closer to the poles. And so you get an extra kick by taking advantage of the Earth's rotation the closer you come to the equator. So that's why it's a good place to launch satellites from.
Okay, is it same apply for NASA in Florida, I suppose, does it?
Well, Florida's a fair way north, but the closer you can get to the equator, the better it is. And so that's why the French, for example, have their main launch facility at Kourou at the top end of South America.
What sort of payloads are we talking about with this rocket hub at Nhulunbuy? Satellites or something smaller than that?
Well, we're talking about initially there'll be some what are known as suborbital launches. So those will be simply rocket launches go up and go down, but nothing will go into orbit. This will be to test the site and to test the telemetry and all of the technology. But after that, there will be relatively small satellites launched into various orbits, but mainly into orbits that are close to the equator, so perhaps up to about 100 kilograms, so that's about the size of a bar fridge.
Michael Gunner, the Chief Minister, thinks that we could be in the space race within a year, that we can get this rocket launch hub up and going in that time. What exactly is needed for a rocket launch site to get up and running? It seems quite ambitious timeline to me.
You don't actually need a lot of infrastructure to launch satellites. You need basically a concrete pad. You need fuel if the fuel is not already inside the rocket as a solid fuel. And you need some telemetry, some communication systems that allows you to talk to the rocket and the rocket to talk back to the Earth. And so you know where it's going, some tracking capability. So it's pretty basic infrastructure. I mean, if you think about the Scud campaigns of the Gulf War, these were launched from the back of trucks. Now, they weren't going into orbit, but it's not much of a difference to simply launch a Scud missile towards a target versus getting it to go a bit faster and further to launch a satellite.
Okay, so technically or technologically, it might not be that difficult to get going.
No.
But what about all the other questions around it? We'll talk about ownership, traditional ownership of this space in a moment. But, you know, there'll be guidelines. I imagine the government's currently reviewing the Space Activity Act. That will have guidelines on environmental impact of a rocket launch site. What are the environmental issues around this?
So the company that's involved in this, Equatorial Launch Australia, we might call them ELA for this brevity, has been very, very careful in it and quietly approached the whole legal regulatory regime with great caution and great respect, both with regard to the traditional owners, with regard to the environmental clearances, and with regard to the domestic laws and then the international laws that apply to anything that gets launched into space. This is one of the reasons that there's not been a lot of fanfare. The people who work in this company and have set it up have been very, very careful not to overstate and overclaim, which is something that unfortunately other elements of the space industry have done in the past to the detriment of the industry overall. These people have been very conscientious, in my view, in the way they've gone about getting the various clearances that they need.
It's 10 minutes to 9. Our guest is Brett Biddington, Principal at Biddington Research, which specialises in space and cyber policy research. Do you know much about their negotiations with the traditional owners there on the Gove Peninsula? It's the Gumuch clan headed by Galloway Yunupingu. And apparently ELA says it's managed to secure that permission.
That's my understanding. And again, in talks with private conversations with one of the principals in ELA a couple of months ago, he made it very clear to me that they have that the company and the Northern Territory Government and the Northern Land Council and the traditional owners have worked very carefully and cautiously to gain the approvals. And in fact, the announcement of this has been delayed until the ink was not just wet but dry on the various documents that need to be signed.
Can I just ask you very briefly, we know that South Australia has its own ambitions to become a hub for space, to be a space frontier. Are we going to have our own mini space race on within the country between South Australia and the Northern Territory, or is there enough business to go around?
Fran, the really good news is that the ACT, the South Australian Government and the Northern Territory Government have signed an agreement to work together. This is a national enterprise coming out of the government's recent announcement that we're going to have a national space agency, and I think you'll see other states and territories join in as well.
Brett Biddington, thanks very much for joining us.
Pleasure.
Brett Biddington is principal at Biddington Research, specialising in space and cyber policy research.